if you're going to try to enhance performance or provide an analgesic effect in horses, that you would use every medication other than scopolamine, because there'd be lots of negative effects on giving it to a horse, which would cause it to behave erratic and not run to its best performance.
So should this news out that Justify had tested positive for this drug be of concern at all?
I can't answer that. All I can say is it seems from public reporting that the California Horse Racing Board followed its policies and procedures on adjudicating this positive along with a cluster of other positives on the same type of drug.
Do you think there will be a further tightening of regulation because of this positive test?
Look, I don't think that this shows that there's been a transgression of anything. What everyone is concerned about is the differences in policies and procedures of all things in the 38 states that hold horse racing around the United States. There's a lot more commonality than most people think, believe it or not, but I'd say that there are differences. So in one jurisdiction where you might have to declare a positive to the public and then research it, there are jurisdictions like California that the equine medical director and their executive director have some latitude on exploring and also ensuring confidentiality and giving due process to the horsemen, to the trainers, whilst an investigation occurs.
This news about this drug, scopolamine, comes after a fair amount of attention, to be sure, about the deaths of horses in racing, primarily in California. And so is that affecting the impression of the industry?
We'd have to say yes, because we live in a collective sport and business of horse racing. But I will tell you that east of the Mississippi, it's been a long time since the sport of horse racing has been this good. You know, New York has unbelievable purses, and their wagering and attendance is very strong at their premier meets. The Mid-Atlantic area is very good. Here in Kentucky, we are performing extraordinarily well. Not only off the backs of Keeneland and Churchill Downs, but also we have the historical racing product here. It has been extraordinarily positive towards purses. We are beating the national average as far as our field size. In spring here in Kentucky, we added one extra horse per average of the field. That's huge, because that raises the net gain on the live racing wagering that occurs when you hold races. Moreover, tracks like Kentucky Downs, they just finished a phenomenal meet. They've never had a more successful meet, to where they had live wagering on just 7 days of racing at $41 million, an increase of $4 million from the previous meet. They had field sizes averaged 11 horses per field. That's unbelievable. And it's down to the very sound and measured regulatory structure that we've had from the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission for past several years.
We're standing outside of the Keeneland Sales Pavilion during the annual September yearling sales. And how, Chauncey, would you assess the interest in these sales?
I'd say that this is absolutely a barometer of how the racehorse owner, the end user, views racing currently in America, and the sales have been phenomenal. Beyond just the million-dollar horses that have sold in book one, the average and median per horse has been up, and that shows that our leading racehorse owner in the United States has a great faith in the game. Okay. And moreover, a great faith in ultimately our signature product and our signature industry, because this is the bellwether for breeding and racing as far as sales are concerned in the United States.
So I guess I'll say the raw numbers of horses that have been bred in the Central Kentucky area, has that changed to any great degree in, say, the last 5 years?
It's stable, actually, yes. In the last 5 years, it's gone to a marked increase, but we've reached a plateau to where we're breeding between 9,000 to 10,000 horses a year, while other states have contracted. So Kentucky, we've never produced as many horses compared to our other sister states that also have thoroughbred breeding, and we're responsible for producing 40% of the national foal crop. That is 40% of all thoroughbred foals that foal a given year are foaling here in Kentucky.
Okay. And I guess I'll say finally, betting has been a part of horse racing, I guess, since
for 100 years.
I was going to say since the beginning.
For 100 years.
For 100 years. There are various ways to gamble today in America, and Kentucky has long debated in the legislature about whether casino gambling should come to Kentucky.
Other forms of gaming.
So is that becoming more of a pressure point in the horse racing industry?
Look, you ask a very good question. I'd put an analogy that Amazon is disruptive to retail, but that doesn't mean that all retail is going out of business. You just have to learn how to adapt. As far as racing is concerned, we have subsisted on legal parimutuel wagering for 100 years. That has been our most important way, means of profit center, if you will, for racetracks operating. Other forms of gaming, they do have the potential to be disruptive, but there are political actors at the state level that are mindful on the economic contribution that breeding and racing here in Kentucky give, and they've been mindful about making that as least disruptive to us and providing supports for us, or having to where we have the means of ownership like the historical racing product currently, that has been a boon not only to racing but also to the Commonwealth.